Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peekpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peekpainting.com.
Lars Larson on KPRL, brought to you by Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts. Enjoy a handmade cigar in the lounge. 625 Spring Street. Must be 21 years of age or older.
Real Red Meat Radio.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Somebody at the White House has been smoking the devil's lettuce.
Honestly, provocative talk radio.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the people in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
Lars.
Never apologize for being patriotic.
Our beloved republic is in the hands of madmen. This is a dark day.
No, here's your host.
My memory is so bad I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Tuesday, and the laptop from hell is back. And if you don't know what the laptop from hell is, I'll remind you the history of this MacBook Pro 13 and its connections to Hunter Biden, to Joe Biden, to illicit business deals in China and Russia and Ukraine and a number of other places. And it has shown up today in court in Wilmington, Delaware, where Hunter Biden is on trial on gun charges because he says he was pushed into a purchase of a gun. Now, that's hogwash, but we'll get into the details of that. This is kind of amazing because this is the same laptop that very nearly 4 years ago featured prominently in a New York Post story about the laptop from hell, the one that shows Hunter Biden's drug use, Hunter Biden's cavorting with cocaine and prostitutes, and, of course, a lot of emails that tie the big guy, Joe Biden, to Hunter Biden and his illicit multi-million-dollar deals in places like Beijing and Moscow and Kiev. Yes, it's sitting in court because prosecutor Derek Hines brought it in, handed it to an FBI special agent by the name of Erica Jensen and said, can you identify this? She looked at the serial number on the back and said, yeah, that's the laptop that belongs to Hunter Biden. Now, why is that significant? It's so significant to American politics, to presidential elections, to censorship of the press by the United States government. And we'll get into all the details. First, welcome to the program. Glad to be with you and always glad to take your calls. We call this the best conversation in talk journalism, and I try to live up to that every day. And if you want to dial in, it's 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. If you happen to be a naysayer and you disagree with my point of view on anything, you are welcome to call in. Tell the producers you're a naysayer. You'll go right to the front of the line at 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And our poll on X today, this one's an odd one. We saw the story yesterday. A 20-year-old man, now this happened in Spain, a 20-year-old man in Spain who impregnated a 12-year-old girl. And you say, well, that's rape. And what this young man said is no, that he had a relationship with this young lady, and that in the sociocultural context of the gypsy ethnic group, that this is simply the norm. Now, the judge decided that their relationship was justified by Romani culture. So I thought we'd make it a question. Well, actually, Mackenzie came up with this question, one of my great producers. Should gypsy culture or any culture excuse predatory sexual behavior by adults on children? And if you say, Lars, that's happening in Spain, why do we care about that here? Well, multiculturalism has kind of done a job on America over the last couple of decades, and you have a lot of disturbing things that happen in American culture that are now simply excused as, well, that's part of culture, and you can't fault somebody for that. It's happening in Spain now. I'm suggesting you ought to watch for it to rear its ugly head in America. Should gypsy culture, should any culture excuse predatory behavior? My answer to that would be no. You can answer the question any way you like. You'll find it at Lars Larson Show on X, formerly Twitter. You can also find it on my website at LarsLarson.com. And always brought to you by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC has the conservative values I've always believed in. I joined the group a long time ago, years ago. You can join too. Just go to amac.us or call 888-262-2006. AMAC's better. Better for you and better for America. Now, yesterday, I thought we'd have a little fun. Should Democrats make another attempt to push President Trump off the November ballot? There is at least one of them. And if you say, but Lars, didn't they try that already? Didn't they get shot down by the Supreme Court? No, that was about the primaries. This is about the general election. I said no to that idea. 80% of you also said no to that crazy idea. But 20% of you said, yeah, there should be another attempt to simply push President Trump off the election ballot. And coming up this hour, jury selection for the Hunter Biden gun trial, made up of six people directly impacted by drug addiction. Could that bias rig the trial in his favor? Is Joe Biden making Israel's fight even harder against terrorism? Americans deserve affordable and reliable energy, but is Congress and the Prove It Act merely a federal tax scheme that treats energy use like a sin? And as I said, cast a vote in our X poll at Lars Larson Show on X. Now, let me tell you about the laptop from hell. This is kind of amazing because when you look at this laptop, this simple piece of technology, the Hunter Biden laptop, the FBI had that laptop in its hands for almost a full year before the New York Post broke the laptop from hell story. And then, as we know, Twitter, under different management than it's under today, silenced the story, kept it from spreading, and so did all the other social media. And why? Because there were 51 former intelligence officials who signed a letter, sworn be damned, now that's Russian disinformation. Even though, since the FBI had had their hands on that MacBook for more almost a year, they had plenty of time to determine, is it in fact the property of Hunter Biden? Does it contain evidence of a crime? And apparently the FBI didn't do much of anything with it. The same laptop that Hunter Biden tried to deny was his. He tried to say, you can't prove I owned it, even while his lawyers were simultaneously demanding the return of the laptop to their client, Hunter Biden. The one that describes the role that the big guy played in so many of Hunter Biden's business deals because it contained a lot of incriminating emails. And the one that showed the pictures and the video and the audio of Hunter Biden cavorting with prostitutes and cocaine and guns. And you wonder, exactly how does Hunter Biden think he's going to beat the rap today? Time to get your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. Let's start with Doug in Alabama. Hey, Doug, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mr. Larson,
yes, sir.
Thanks for being a beacon of truth.
I do what I can.
I've been pondering this thing about, you know, the all of the shenanigans. I don't care what anybody says. I believe that there were some shenanigans going on with the 2020 election
as far as
the ballots. I read that in shortly after the 2020 election that in the state of Pennsylvania in 2016, they had 50,000+ mail-in ballots. And in the 2020, they had around 1.5 million mail-in ballots.
They did.
So I think that that's how they're circumventing the system there with the mail-in ballots. And if that's true, what's going to keep them from pulling the same stunt this year?
There are two things in the various states that I think are going to change the equation a bit. In Georgia and a few other states, they've changed the laws to make it harder to cheat. Not impossible, but harder. And the second thing is, I think the Trump team and the GOP are actually prepared for this time. I don't think they were as well prepared in 2020. And I think there will be efforts to say, you've got illegal aliens voting. You've got illegal ballots being cast and counted. And I think that additional surveillance, I hope, is going to keep the Democrats from cheating. But we'll see.
Whatever happened to Tony Horton, the guy who created the revolutionary P90X?
2017, I was knocked down. A very rare type of shingles that went straight into my brain. My body was completely wasting away. I started researching everything related to building my muscle back again. That's when I learned about the potential of HMB plus vitamin D3 and what they can do when it comes to helping build new muscle.
So Tony developed high-impact protein by Power Life.
Just add one scoop of high-impact protein to a glass of water or your morning smoothie and enjoy the effects of that boss molecule and factory worker combination. Reshaping your body each and every day. More energy, burn more fat, and probably drop a few pounds along the way.
High Impact Protein by Power Life is a tasty once-a-day powder that comes in either whey or plant protein. Go to mypowerlife.com and use code ORGANIC to save 30%. Tony even offers a 90-day guarantee. Go to mypowerlife.com or text ORGANIC to 511-511 today.
All individuals are unique. Your results can and will vary. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/pets or text PETS to 511-511. Text PETS to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Sometimes it's what you've been waiting for, and sometimes it's unexpected. You're pregnant. Tree of Life Pregnancy Care Center is here to help. Services include pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, maternity and baby items, post-abortion support, and lots of helpful information. It's all confidential, and it's all free. There's a Tree of Life in San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Paso Robles. Visit our website at treeoflifepsc.com or call us at 805-543-6000. That's 805-543-6000. Tree of Life.
Happy birthday to Kokotai Restaurant. Thank you for 3 years at Kokotai, serving delicious Thai cuisine at the corner of Cabrillo and El Camino Real in Atascadero. Help us celebrate at Kokotai. Dine in or get Coco to go. 805-538-5057. 805-538-5057. Happy birthday to Kokotai Restaurant. By the way, I'm Coco.
County's choice for news. KPRL.
President Biden on AI and the weather.
Helping web tech, the web telescope. My God, what is this?
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'll get back to your phone calls and emails here in just a moment, but I want to talk to our friend Frank Gaffney, the founder of the Center for Security Policy, about something I mentioned last Friday. It kind of amazed me that Joe Biden came out and announced his proposal for a ceasefire between Israel and the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. And he did it on the Jewish Sabbath, which almost seemed like something that was calculated to restrict the amount of commentary that he would hear back about it until Saturday night. Frank, welcome back to the program. And tell me what we should make of this deal and what Joe Biden is trying to do to our ally, Israel.
Well, a really interesting piece of this, Lars, is that he described it as Bibi Netanyahu's plan.
And before
the speech was over,
was
he said, I really want to get the Israelis to agree to this.
It's their plan, but we have to get them to agree to it.
Yeah, kind of. Except, of course, it wasn't their plan. There were elements of it that I think were being rooted by Bibi Netanyahu. But the bottom line of it was, this is a document for the abject surrender of Israel to Hamas. And that is not Bibi's plan. To the contrary, I mean, Bibi is actually fairly insistent that the only outcome here is that Hamas is decisively crushed, both militarily and politically. And the Biden team, Lars, as I know you've noticed, as we've talked about off and on now for months, is really set on not just appeasing Iran in general, but in particular in seeing what it can do to save its terrorist proxy in the Gaza Strip, Hamas, and actually not just save it, but turn it into the strategic victor over Israel. And there's one other piece of this plan, so-called phased plan, that is extraordinary, I think, and that is that the administration not only envisions having a ceasefire that goes into effect immediately and then basically stays in effect as long as Hamas is having conversations with the Israelis through various cutouts. But they also are saying that this will automatically move over into a permanent cessation of hostilities and a reconstruction of Gaza and an end of hostilities with Hezbollah
to the north,
right. As well.
Yeah.
And, you know, this essentially would mean that Iran's proxies run the table on Israel. And what's so unbelievably alarming about all this is not just that the United States government is trying to topple Benjamin Netanyahu's government. It's not just that, you know, it's working assiduously with Israel's enemies. It's that it is seemingly indifferent to the reality that what this almost certainly will lead to is a redoubled, concerted effort by not just Hamas and not just Hamas and Hezbollah, but not just Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis, but Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and Iran itself, and maybe with some additional help from China, which has been in the mix here as well, to lead, I'm afraid, to the mortal imperiling of Israel, maybe the existential threat of all time to it and its demise. I pray to God, obviously, that won't happen. And I think God has a special place in his heart for Israel, so presumably it won't. But everything is being done here, it seems, to lead in that direction.
I guess,
government.
Yeah. And by the way, just to remind people, the big drone attack came not from a proxy, but directly from Iran. So you've got Iran in it. I don't know whether the PA, the Palestinian Authority, has been playing any direct role or if they're just kind of sitting there on the West Bank doing nothing. But to the north, Hezbollah, to the south, you've got Gaza. You've got Iran off in the distance funding and equipping all these people. And is there any doubt that if there is some kind of ceasefire, that Hamas will just reconstitute itself, scare up some new fighters, rearm itself, and go right back to their old tricks fairly soon?
No, to the contrary. Look, they haven't actually stopped their old tricks. I don't think they would even during a ceasefire. But here's the thing, Lars. Just to be clear, the Palestinian Authority had elements involved in the October 7th invasion. The Palestinian Authority has been armed and equipped with its so-called security forces, and trained, by the way, by the United States of America. There are now elements on what is popularly called the West Bank, historically properly known as Judea and Samaria, that are threatening and actually engaged in attacks against Jews who live in that area. And I think it's indisputable that what the Palestinian Authority will be doing in its own right, if only because it has to compete with Hamas for the affection, such as it is, of the jihadists amongst them. But one way or the other, they're going to be doing what they can to attack Israel as well. And you know, one of the other things that's so galling about all of this is there's a law on the books. It's called the Taylor Force Act. And it essentially bars the use of any U.S. government funding to pay for terrorists.
And that's including paying that, their families for martyrs, right?
Absolutely. For life, as a matter of fact. That's one of the things that the Palestinian Authority is continuing to do, and they're getting away with it, notwithstanding the law. Just another example of the Biden administration's treachery, I believe.
Well, so if you can complete the picture, we know what Joe Biden is asking of Israel. What's being asked of Hezbollah and Hamas? What assurances and what guarantees and what, consequences if they violate those things? Is this a deal that's just not bilateral but unilateral, where Israel makes all the guarantees and Hamas and Hezbollah do whatever they want?
Well, no. The deal, as I understand it, is that there will be 20 live hostages released in exchange for hundreds of terrorists currently in Israeli prisons, including, you know, October 7th perpetrators and others with blood on their hands. And that's pretty much the extent of what's required of Hamas, as I understand it.
Because you wonder if they strike, if this deal is one that, and it sounds like Israel has now acquiesced to this deal, am I right?
No, I don't think so. I think there are people in Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet who have basically said, look, they'll bring down the government if he endorses this thing. There's a play with a guy by the name of Heed, I believe it is, who is the sort of pro forma opposition. And he has said he will bring some of his troops to help Bibi if he agrees to this deal. Lapid, I think it is. But his offer, I think, is not terribly attractive to Netanyahu. But more to the point, the deal itself is not. And so whatever Benjamin Netanyahu was thinking about and in principle willing to agree to before Joe Biden, A, leaked it, took it public, didn't leak it. I mean, he gave a primetime speech about it. But
yeah,
also changed its terms in important ways. This should be, you know, the end of the line for all of this, as far as I can tell. And the Israeli people are, like, by the way, the American people, not on board with this idea of saving Hamas and having it, you know, rise again from the ashes and become once again a mortal threat to Israel. So for all these reasons, I don't think this is going to happen. Hamas is also making noises about how it's not going to accept it, but I think they're playing a game. But the point is that the Biden administration is doing everything it can think of, including, by the way, taking a resolution to the UN Security Council to essentially demonstrate again that Israel is isolated. All the rest of the world wants Israel to make these concessions to Hamas, and the United States government is on board with doing that. It's a travesty.
The pro-terrorism government of Joe Biden, and he wants to be reelected. That's Frank Gaffney from the Center for Security Policy, the author of The Indictment, and you've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. President Biden today signing an executive order limiting migrant crossings at the U.S. southern border. POTUS saying Congress needs to do more.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're not willing to spend the money to hire more Border Patrol agents, more asylum officers, more judges, more high-tech machinery.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House has reaction to the president's executive order.
Republicans have largely criticized the action, calling it a political stunt. And some immigrants' rights groups are signaling court challenges, accusing President Biden of following Trump-era policy.
The order does not place limits on child crossings. Courts adjourned for the day in the federal gun trial of first son Hunter Biden. Witness testimony began following opening statements in Wilmington, Delaware. Biden's pleaded not guilty to three federal counts of lying about drug use on a gun application in 2018. America's listening to Fox News.
Trail map says, from this vista point, the valley looks like rolling hills of cash.
Looks like? Think it actually is.
It's the Valley of Riches $275,000 cash and prizes giveaway from Chumash Casino Resort. Start earning entries now for a chance to win big, including a grand prize of $100,000 in cash. Drawings June 9th, noon to 10 p.m. Must be present to win.
Now that's some serious greenery.
Welcome to
the Paso Robles City Council.
We'll be right back.
Welcome, everybody, to the Paso Robles City Council for June 4th. We're going to reconvene our meeting from the 5:30 closed session. If we would, let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance led by Sharon Roden, and then we have an invocation afterwards.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Pat Sheehan.
Father, we thank you for our elected leaders, Mayor Hammond, Councilpersons Gregory, Bosch, Strong, and Roden. Fill them, Lord, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ for every decision before them tonight. Lord, bless and be with our police and emergency services personnel who bravely serve and protect us all. Give your grace, we pray, to our city's manager and staff to supply them with all they need to manage and care for the many needs in our city. And Lord, we ask you your continued blessings on the many volunteers who so graciously give of themselves to make Paso Robles a great place to call home. And Father, we ask all of this in the glorious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Bausch.
Here.
Councilmember Gregory.
Here.
Councilmember Roden.
Here.
Councilmember Strong.
Here.
Mayor Hammond.
Here. And we also have staff introductions, beginning one on my right, but Melissa.
Melissa Boyer, City Clerk, joined by Shauna Howenstein, Civic Engagement Coordinator, and Karen Jackson, IT Technician.
Warren Frace, Community Development Director.
Frieda Berman, Public Works Director.
Dita Esperanza, Capital Projects Engineer.
Christopher Alaco, Utilities. Wayne Brown, Maintenance Services Superintendent.
Lieutenant
Fortin, Community
Services Director.
Ryan Brown, Utility Services Director. David Abney, Water Resources Manager, Engineering. Paul Petty, Fire Marshal.
Yep.
Dante Pacino, Development. David North, Police Chief. Frank Harris, Mr. Martin.
Chris Hewitt, Assistant City Manager. Excuse me.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
And do we have Ty Lewis, City Manager, online?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. I'm online with you.
Very good. All right. Thank you to all of our emergency services folks for being here tonight. All right. Next, we'll have presentations. First one's going to be Hunger Awareness, and the second will be Amateur Week Proclamation. So could I have Morgan?
Can we report out from closed session first?
Yep, sorry.
Thank you. So earlier this evening, the council went into closed session for conference with legal counsel regarding pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.91. The name of the case is John Forrest versus the city. And there is no reportable action from this evening's closed session.
Very good. And can we have Morgan Dewar Voss come and join me? Thank you, Mayor. Come on over here. I'll let you hang on to that. Tonight we have a proclamation for Hunger Awareness Day, June 7th, 2024. Whereas hunger profoundly determines the health and well-being of both our community at large and individual neighbors, and whereas approximately a third of households in San Luis Obispo County are struggling to afford the cost of living in our region, And whereas more than 4,800 children in San Luis Obispo County are suffering from food insecurity, jeopardizing their growth, health, and academic success. And whereas nearly a quarter of our local seniors are struggling to meet their basic needs. And whereas San Luis Obispo Food Bank provides essential support to over 70 partner profit, nonprofit agencies, thereby forming a critical network that distributes nutritious, life-sustaining food to those who face hunger. And whereas the San Luis Obispo Food Bank serves over 36,500 neighbors in need each month across San Luis Obispo County, from Napomo to San Miguel, and from San Simeon to the California Valley. And whereas the San Luis Obispo Food Bank distributes millions of nutritious meals to families, seniors, children, and people in need annually, and whereas the annual Hunger Awareness Day event taking place this June, on June 7th, is a critical, innovative organization organized by San Luis Food Bank to elevate public consciousness about hunger and generate the necessary funds to contribute and expand hunger relief efforts in San Luis Obispo County. And whereas the steadfast commitment to our community on Hunger Awareness Day 2024 will be instrumental in raising the funds and awareness required to elevate the hunger and build a healthier community in San Luis Obispo County. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, as mayor of Paso Robles and speaking on entire city council, do hereby proclaim June 7, 2024, as Hunger Awareness Day, and call upon our citizens of Paso Robles to participate in a concerted effort to ensure that no child, adult, or senior goes hungry in our community. Thank you for being here today. Okay. Want to say something? Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Morgan Dewar. I'm a board member of the Slow Chamber, and this is Molly, our Slow Food Bank, and this is Molly, our CEO. Mayor Hammond and City Council members, thank you for your shining a light on this vital issue. Food insecurity is something that happens behind closed doors. There is no way to know if your colleague, your child's friend, or even the person bagging your groceries is struggling to access nutritious food. On Hunger Awareness Day, we open those doors to make sure that thousands of our neighbors know that they are not alone, that there are many resources available, and that the entire county is leaning in to support them. Since the start of COVID and persisting to this day, our community is experiencing food insecurity at a level we have not seen in our 35-year history. As a result, the Slow Food Bank and our hunger relief partners are responding to a more than 16% surge in demand for services. We are honored to provide compassionate, nutritious hunger relief to tens of thousands of Slow County residents through our direct hunger relief efforts and to our network of more than 70,000 independent nonprofits whose kitchen and pantries we stock. In Paso Robles, we are grateful for our partners at the Paso Robles Housing Authority, ECHO, Second Baptist Church, and of course the city for hosting neighborhood food distributions at Sherwin Park. The Slow Food Bank prides ourselves in maximizing donated funds to provide as many nutritious meals as possible for those facing hunger through bulk purchasing, strategic timing, and key partnerships across the state. Our purchasing power delivers up to 450% more nutritious vegetables and fruit, protein, and dairy than can be purchased in store. During this year's Hunger Awareness Day, the Slow Food Bank is continuing our recent tradition of organizing in-person CalFresh enrollment assistance throughout the county, including at the Paso Robles Public Library from 1 to 4:30 p.m. CalFresh is a vital component in combating hunger in Slow County, and much of its work is still needed to overcome our historically low CalFresh utilization rates throughout the community. Until we reach our CalFresh goals, millions of dollars from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's SNAP program won't be providing hunger relief to our neighbors in need, nor will those millions of earmarked federal funds reach the cash registers of our local grocery stores and farmers markets. The economic and nutritional opportunity costs of under-enrollment in CalFresh cannot be overstated. Hunger is a local problem, and in our community, the solution is so local. In the compassionate hearts of our generous neighbors who also donate their time, talent, and treasure to our caring mission. For Paso Robles residents in a position to give, we hope you will show your support this Hunger Awareness Day by becoming a recurring donor and having the entire first year of your generosity matched instantly up to $500,000. Thank you again for your kindness, for helping share our story, and for supporting our compassionate mission on Hunger Awareness Day and throughout the year.
Okay, next we have Scott Curry, Amateur Radio. Is Scott here? Scott? I'll give you that proclamation. Saw you the other day at the park for the Safety Fest. Well done. Proclamation, Amateur Radio Week, June 16th to 23, 2024. Whereas the amateur radio operators are celebrating over a century of the miracle of human voice broadcast over the airwaves, and whereas amateur radio has continued to provide a bridge between people, societies, and countries by creating friends and sharing ideas, and whereas amateur radio operators have also provided countless hours of uncompromised community services both in emergencies and in local organizations throughout these decades. And whereas the state also recognizes the services of amateur radio's peoples provide to many emergency response organizations, including police, fire, and emergency management. And whereas these same individuals have further demonstrated their value in public assistance to provide free radio communications for local parades, bike-a-thons, walk-a-thons, fairs, and other charitable public events. And whereas the city of Paso Robles, California recognizes and appreciates the diligence of these hams who also serve as weather spotters in the Skywarn program for the U.S. Government Weather Bureau. And whereas the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, is the leading organization for amateur radio in the United States. Whereas the ARRL Amateur Radio Field Day exercise will take place this June 22nd, 23rd, and is a 24-hour emergency preparedness exercise and demonstration of radio amateurs' skills and readiness to provide self-supporting communications without further infrastructure being required. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire city council, do hereby proclaim week of June 16th through 23rd, 2024 as Amateur Radio Week. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for this proclamation. We've done this every year for the past few years. For those of you not familiar with amateur radio, it is a licensed radio service authorized by the Federal Communications Commission for private citizens to communicate with other private citizens utilizing radio equipment. And we do it for fun. We do it for technical experimentation. And we also promote goodwill among peoples, not only in the United States, but in other countries, because we can communicate worldwide. And also on the serious side, of course, during times of emergency or disaster, many of us train and exercise and stand ready to volunteer our time and our equipment to set up an alternate backup communication system for first response, emergency management, and other non-governmental organizations. And our team here in Paso Robles and in countywide, we have probably about 60 or so ham radio operators that are trained to do that. And as the proclamation mentions, the field day event coming up on June 22nd, 23rd is a contest. We have fun, but it is also a disaster preparedness exercise. So we'll go out to a field location that has no power or any other infrastructure, and we bring our communications equipment, we set our communications equipment up, our antennas and all, and then we spend 24 hours trying to contact as many other people around the country that are doing the same thing. And last year we were able to contact folks in all of the western states, a good chunk of the middle of the country, and even a few folks on the east coast with our equipment. So it's open to the public. You're welcome to come out and see it. We love to show off our equipment and our skills. This year we will be out at the airport just west of the Warbirds Museum. So it's easy to find us. Just look for the antennas and stop by, you know, make it a day. Go over and see the museum and then come over and visit with us. And we'll even let you use the radios under our close supervision, of course, and have some fun with us. So again, thank you very much, Mayor and the Council. We'll hope to see you all out there on the 22nd.
Thank you, Scott. And also, if somebody wanted to get involved in amateur radio, do you have a way for them to contact folks and get them interested?
Yes, absolutely. The Paso Robles Amateur Radio Club, I want to say they got started in 1946 or thereabouts, and we've been a continuous club ever since. So we have lots of resources to help you, you know, study for the exam and get your equipment set up and, you know, all of the necessary things. And then if you want to further get into the emergency communications part of it, I'm the for SLO County, the district emergency coordinator, and you can contact me and I can get you started that way. We just changed the website for the Paso Robles Club. I want to say it's pasorobelsradio.net, but if you do a Google search, you'll find us.
Very good. All right. Thank you for coming, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have Capital Projects Report. Didis Esperanza.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. As you know, this is the monthly report that I do on behalf of the Public Works Department for projects in construction or soon to be. So this is the project that is in construction right now, which everybody knows by now, is the Creston Road Corridor Improvements that starts at South River Road and will end somewhere on Orchard Drive. We started a few months ago, and we did night work for the last couple of weeks, and these are a few pictures of the night work that we performed, which was mostly waterline. The reason we do it at night is we have to shut off the water service. We don't want to do that while the businesses are in business. And so that's why we do it in the evening hours. So here are just a few of the pictures. So we finished that a few weeks ago. We're back to daytime work now, and they're still doing water lines. But this time it's daytime work. We don't have to shut off the water. So they're doing that right now. And I just want to remind people what this, I'll skip that one. Project is all about. This is a cross section of the road as we will be finishing it in the next couple of years. And if you, this is the traffic signal that will be constructed at Walnut and Bolin. And this is what it will look like at Ivy, Trigo, and Orchard for some pedestrian enhancements to provide safe crossing for our students. Oh, let me back up a little bit. So I just want to remind you, when we did the Golden Hill Union Road project, if you recall, we totally closed that road. That allowed the contractor to just really go pretty quickly on construction. And so that's why that one took about a year to perform. We cannot do that in Creston Road. We can't close off Creston Road. That would be a nightmare. So we have to work with traffic that's live. And so because of that, this project will take a little longer than a year. We're projecting about end of 2025 for the completion of Creston Road. We're starting with water. There will be conduits, storm drains, sewer, curbs and gutters, sidewalks, signals, those pedestrian enhancements, then finally the road repair and striping. So I just want to thank people for their patience. I hope you hang in there with us as we continue and finish this work. Finally, Right Way, after many, many months of waiting until the road is dry, because it was pretty saturated from our wet winter, we finally started back last week. So we're going back and doing the curbs and gutters all around the road itself. And then in a few weeks, we will actually be paving, striping, and then we'll be done with that project. We started the EDA, Economic Development Administration Grant Project, sometime back. This is what all the segments are. They're all over town. And so we started at Theater Drive, and here's some of pictures on Vine Street. We started on Theater Drive, went under Highway 46, and proceeded north on Vine Street. We're boring under, so these are the bore pits. So there are bore pits intermittently along the road, but there's no real trench excavation. And then as a reminder again, this is being paid for by a grant from the Economic Development Administration. And the purpose of the grant is to enhance fiber optics in our city in hopes of encouraging business development and growth and to provide jobs. The other project that's been in the works is the replacement of the water services at Sierra Bonita neighborhood. So we're proceeding along. These are the dots of where the water services will need to be replaced. We're just about done. We're about 50 more to do, paving back all the trenched borings. We have a curb ramp we need to replace, but otherwise, this project is nearing completion. And then after that, the gas company is going to come and tear up the streets because they need to replace their old water mains. So once that is done, then we can finally repair the road surface. So we're doing all the undergrounds, so that way we can get that all done, so that when we do the road repair, we don't have to redo it or something happens that we have to shamelessly excavate the newly paved road. Here's some more of those dots that needs to be replaced. And then we just started the repair of the parking lot at Centennial Park. These are pictures from last week where they did some localized dig out repairs. However, if you go out there now, it's pretty much done. They did the dig out repairs. They did the slurry seal. And then by Thursday, the parking lot will be all nice and fresh and all done and ready for customer service use. Here are some more pictures of the dig out repairs. So now we have projects that are nearing construction that I just want to go over real quick. The one that everybody's been waiting for is the 17th Street Road repair from Chestnut to Spring. We awarded that project sometime back. The notice to proceed has been issued. On Wednesday, the contractor will be delivering flyers to the residents saying, we're in construction, pay attention to the no parking sign, keep the kids away from playing around the construction zone. They're going to do some potholing and saw cutting. And this all this week because school is still in session. But next week, when school is out, they will be full bore saw cutting, demoing, and really going gangbusters and getting this road completed. The other one is the rehabilitation of the Palm Court and Elm Court roads